Oh, I had my reservations about banana.
That's the strawberry peach.
Oh dear, it tastes like amoxicillin.
Thanks to Moira's Crows movie fame, Herb Oertlinger wants her to be the face of his newest wine, which leads to an unhinged wine tasting between Moira and David. Patrick and Johnny have a surprising heart-to-heart over takeout pizza and baseball, and Alexis recruits the townie ladies to attend a fitness class with her newest marketing client, which may or may not be, but definitely is, a cult. So pour yourself a fruity blend and join us as we ascend to the gateway of Season 6, Episode 7, Moira Rosé.
Well, it's time to elevate, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Shitless.
Where are we going? Up.
We're going up. We're leaving behind everyone and everything.
Everyone.
For tonight's episode, it's Season 6, Episode 6.
7.
Shit.
We're keeping that.
Season 6, Episode 7.
7.
Moira Rosé.
I love this episode.
I am drinking not a rosé, but a Riesling, a Moy Riesling tonight.
I am very apropos drinking a fruit wine.
Oh, this perfect.
This is an apple wine, a spiced apple pie for fall.
You are big into those fall wines. I remember there's that one wine I think of you every time I see it called Witch's Brew,
yeah.
Which I hate. But I
haven't had it in so long.
I always think of you. It's very, like, very... Christmas candle-y.
I overdid it. It's the problem. Okay. Like when I was really into it, I really overdid it. And now I just never want it anymore.
It's
good still, but I just don't want it. So,
yeah. Well, hopefully everybody had a happy Halloween last week. It feels like just yesterday that we recorded because
it really kind of was
not that long ago. We did not manage to, we were too busy eating Halloween candy. We did not get any polls posted this week.
I did not get to the stores to pick up some clearance candy. That was my biggest regret of the week.
Okay. So I've been at Target the last 2 days and they've got lots of clearance candy.
Oh, do they?
Clearance Halloween decorations. And now it's full blown Christmas mode.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I know this because I went out today and I bought a Christmas tree.
You got your tree.
And I just put it up before we started recording because I'm having like the fall gloominess already setting in.
Doesn't
and
it
so
help though?
I said, Susha, I just
life.
Need to start early.
Yes.
And that's why we decided to get a fake tree this year too, because it can last longer
and you don't have to worry about burning your house down with a dried up Christmas tree.
So Christmas tree is set up, not decorated, but it already has lights built in. So.
I give it one night before Fern tears that shit down.
Well, that's what happened last year, but at least this time there won't be like a basin of water to also spill.
True. Hopefully, unlike my cats chewed through the bottom sets of cords on our pre-lit Christmas tree. So we have one section that has to have regular lights
strung through.
Thanks to them.
I was on the fence. They have a lot of these like flocked trees now that look like they have snow on them.
Oh,
and I was like on the fence. Some of them are really pretty, but I felt like it was going to be messy and also that I was going to hate it in like 2 years.
Yeah.
So I just went classic needles, but it's the one I got has a nice mix of needles. So it doesn't look like the fakey fake tree from, you know, the 1970s. So
good.
Yeah. Do I have any wedding updates?
I've done so much already.
I've done so much already. Haven't really done any wedding things. Still recovering from that wedding expo experience last week.
Let me ask you this. When are you doing the big ask your nieces and nephews? Is this at Thanksgiving?
This is at Thanksgiving.
Coming up? Okay.
So I've got, in lieu of, we're not doing, I think I've said bridesmaids, groomsmen. It's all like flower girls and little, we're calling them page boys.
Cute.
And we're asking them all Thanksgiving. We're going back to Michigan. We're going to see everybody. So I've been prepping like the little gift boxes or proposal boxes to give them all. I've also started, so I'm making the girls' dresses and I realize I should probably do fittings while I'm there.
Yeah.
So that means I need to like make the prototypes now. So I've been working on those. I've got two of them about done and then I need to do two more. And then, so yeah,
there's four little girls, right?
Four little girls. And
yes.
Then we're going to have like 2 to 3 boys, depending on, there's some family that we're hoping can come and they have a little boy that we would ask.
What is Charlotte's little sister's name? I can't remember ever.
Addison.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Right. So we have Nora, who's been on the podcast.
She's famous. Yep. She's the eldest. She's actually my junior bridesmaid.
Yes.
She has requested a special title.
Yes. Okay.
And she's too mature.
Yeah, she's
and then we've got three Sadie. Flower girls, Sadie, Charlotte, and Addison. And then we've got my niece or my nephew Lincoln as one of our page boys. He'll be like 3. And then my cousin Jenny's son, who's like my nephew, Max, is also 10. So he'll be 11. So he'll be a little bit older.
He's like a junior groomsman.
He's like a junior groomsman, like that. He's about our height too. He's like really tall.
Is he tall?
He's tall. So
that's funny.
That's our little crew.
And, cute. So you'll be asking them at Thanksgiving. That'll be exciting.
I'm gonna ask them all. I'm gonna try to do it like one at a time. If we can manage, we'll just have to see.
Yeah.
Cool. I've got like little swag bags for them, and it'll be cute. So,
This is another episode of Schitt's Creek with no wedding updates. So fitting that you don't really have anything new.
No wedding updates, either. But wedding references. They do wedding talk a little bit about wedding the references, upcoming nuptials.
One little tidbit of news that I forgot last week. I knew about this, but I forgot to mention it. Did you see that Catherine O'Hara is in a new Netflix show called Pain Hustlers?
I did. Do you know anything about it?
So I saw a preview for it. And for the life of me, somebody we went to Mexico with was talking about this. And I saw a preview for it last week. And basically, she applies to be there are several people who are applying to be drug representatives for the big pharmaceutical companies. Mm. And from what I know, her character is a little unhinged. So fitting.
Okay. Makes sense.
And I believe someone, whoever I was talking about this show with, I can't for the life of me remember, who said that in the show, she plays a mother of a son who is an addict or a former addict too. And so her unhinged character type kind of comes off really well. They said, mm-hmm. whoever it was said she was like the perfect person for the role. So,
okay.
It also has, is it Emily Blunt, John Krasinski's yes. wife? She's in it. And then I can't remember the other, her male counterpart, but that was also someone famous. So I did really good research because I can't remember any of this crap. But I did see the
Netflix,
preview.
You said.
Yes, on okay. Netflix, Pain Hustlers. And it looks like kind of a comedy drama type thing. Like a, yeah. serious topic, but a kind of a comedic take on it. So,
okay.
I'll look out for that for Catherine.
I also want to give a special shout out to our Fran, Judy Kay,
yes.
for letting us know when we were talking about Joyce DeWitt last week. We were trying to remember
where we heard company, it, where we heard show. That.
And she so ever lovingly reminded us that Joyce DeWitt was Moira's co-star in Not Without My Sister, yes. which...
No, Not Without My Cousin, wasn't it?
No, Not Without His My sister. Sister.
Okay.
And there was a viewing party at Ronnie's, and Johnny was babysitting Roland Jr. Yes. in that episode.
I knew that the show had referenced it. I could not remember it for the life of me, though.
Yeah. So thank you, Judy. Yeah, thanks, Judy. With our short memory. That
short-term memory loss.
Short-term memory loss, yeah. Totally. So, all right, yeah. Kitty. I am back in the helm this week.
Back in the saddle.
Episode. Like I said, the episode is Moira Rosé, or as we're calling it, oh dear, tastes like amoxicillin is our episode title. And it's going to get tasty. So I'm ready to dive in. Are you ready?
Let's do it. Let's,
all right.
Fill our glasses and let's go.
Chin-chin. Here we go. Starting with the cold open, we're at the motel and David and Patrick are watching a baseball game in David's room. David's at the end of the bed with like a napkin under his plate and a napkin tucked in his neckline again to protect his clothes, like a bib, eating a piece of pizza, looking very like annoyed, disgusted that he's having to sit and watch baseball while Patrick is like super focused in on the game from the back of the bed. And he's got like beer and chips and, you know, the rest of the pizza.
All the snacks,
all the fixings. And Patrick's trying to explain the rules to David about baseball. But he says, what's a bunt? Why do they call it a bunt? That sounds like something you should see a surgeon for. And then Patrick says, hey, remember you promised me like this is an important game and you promised to watch it with me, which like I hate that kind of stuff because Sushant has games he wants to watch. Like he watches a lot of American soccer and sometimes he'll watch baseball games or he watches a lot of like Formula One racing. And I'm like,
Dan loves the Formula One.
You can enjoy that. Go for it. But don't ask me to watch it with you. Like, I am not going to improve your experience. I'm probably going to make it worse. So just like, that doesn't need to be quality time for us. That can be you time.
Just have it to yourself. I am like, I do like football. Don't get me like, I kind of love when football season gets started back up again, because it just gives us a good like lazy Sunday thing to do. And I do like, especially now the Lions are doing well. Baseball is personally one of the most boring sports to me on the planet. I know it's America's pastime, but I and my whole family, like my grandpa always, my grandpa and my uncle who I'm close with, they were big into baseball. I just can't. It's just boring. My nephew plays baseball. It's fun to watch him play, but no thanks.
Yeah, I feel that way about football. And only like a year ago did Sushan actually explain the rules to me in a way that I could kind of sort of understand.
Of so American football?
Of American like football.
Football, yeah.
So I can like kind of keep up, but like I'm still not like interested on my own in watching it.
Yeah.
But we find out in a second why they're watching here and why Patrick isn't just watching at his apartment. Because Moira walks in and David looks delighted and relieved that she's there to rescue him from this. And we find out Patrick's there because he's staying the night because David decided to install a Japanese toilet in his bathroom and neglected to tell him that that installation would require the removal of a wall. So construction is going on in the apartment, which that seems like, are you allowed to do that in an apartment?
I guess it depends on your lease.
I guess so. But that's going on over there. So they have to be here to watch the game.
You think it's going to have a bidet, Stephanie?
Well, I was going to say, this reminds me of when you got me the bidet and I installed that. And
we didn't take out any walls. I saw that one.
Hooking up a water line felt like a very high stakes situation that I don't think I could handle the removal of a full wall and installing a new toilet.
Do you think Ronnie's doing the remodel in there for them?
Oh, maybe. In that case, it's probably not going to be done tomorrow, especially because she hates Patrick.
Yeah.
David does mention, you know, you're going to thank me when you get to enjoy that heated motion sensor toilet seat. So motion sensor must be the lid goes up and down on its own and it flushes on its own too, maybe.
Maybe.
Moira wants to know if David's going to be busy all day watching this sports game. David, very stiff and rigid, like horrible fake acting. Alas, it is Patrick's day and we do what Patrick wants. Puts his hand on Patrick's feet like a supportive fiance pretending to be. And Moira goes off that, you know, well, today I have an appointment because, believe it or not, Herb Ertlinger is a huge Crows movie fan. And would like to name one of his wines after her. Patrick chimes in, thinking he's being kind of like witty. They should name it Moira Rosé. And Moira just says very dryly, yeah, that's the plan.
Yes, I believe that's the plan.
I believe that's it. Oh, well, that sounds great. More bad acting from David as he pretends he doesn't know what's going on.
I love this scene.
What an important moment this must be in your life. To his mom, but alas, I must stay and watch the game with Patrick. Patrick is completely up to their schemes. Not good acting at all. Just go. He quickly rips the napkin out of his shirt, grabs his bag. They're at the door.
Okay, it was
in like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And Patrick tells him as they're leaving, you should next time rehearse your extraction a little bit more. It was a bit strained. And then they're off and they leave him to watch his game in peace.
He probably will have more fun watching the game by himself.
David did not need to be there. Yeah. He was only there for the pizza. We know that much.
I mean, that's the only reason I go to baseball games is for the snacks.
Yeah. I went with Sushan. I was like, before we get our seats, I am getting chili dogs.
Beer, and, pretzel,
I will
popcorn.
Not take no for an answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's where we start. They're going to go off and have a wine tasting adventure. I'm going to start tonight's episode, though, with Alexis has a fun storyline. Okay. So we're going to go there first.
Excellent.
First time we see Alexis, she's with all the towny ladies, and they are coming out from behind some white drapes at a spa-looking place. There's, like, harp music, candles. They're all wearing these matching linen tunic pantsuit things. There's some workout equipment that looks kind of weird and not really regulation looking. And it reminds me of like weird trendy or like defunct workout equipment phases or fads. Like, do you remember
like the Gazelle?
Literally the person on my list. My grandma and my aunt had a Gazelle. If you don't know what the Gazelle was, it's like a machine that makes you swing your legs as if you're running. It's like a almost an elliptical, but not.
But it's
not
the farthest from the natural way your legs would swing ever.
Your legs are just scissoring.
Still,
you're really like, yes. wide.
Yes, your legs are scissoring.
And I remember the infomercials had this guy with a long ponytail and just really juicy muscles.
This guy's name was Tony something, wasn't it?
Maybe.
Wasn't he like famous?
Oh my gosh.
I love this is a I love that you're bringing this up. That you're right though. They look like something everybody had from an infomercial in their home in the 1990s.
His name was Tony Little and Tony he Little. Had a baseball hat with his permed ponytail coming yes. out of the back of it. And he yes. ruled the home shopping network infomercial scene.
We got to ask everyone about good infomercial exercise purchases. Yes. This is amazing.
We will be posting. I mean, it kind of looks like a sex machine on its own. Like it just looks.
Well, you
weird.
Mentioned scissoring.
I did. It's. But I remember my grandma had one. My aunt had one. Whoa. And I mean, yeah, I'm just,
you're bringing this up. I just want this on record.
But it was such and it promoted this like full body workout thing yep. that just wasn't realistic. So, Katie, can you think of any other I wanted to ask this question, like any other weird like fad pieces of workout equipment, fitnessing?
So do you remember the ab circle one where it had like two handles and you sat on your knees and you swang your body mm-hmm. back and forth? I never had that, but I remember seeing yeah. the commercials for it and I wanted it so bad.
I also think of, speaking of last week, RIP Suzanne Summers, the Thighmaster, which yes. was this red like suspension based thing that you would squeeze your thigh muscles mm-hmm. together. I think my grandma also had
That brings up a very 80s one that we used to have in our house, which was just basically a giant 20-inch spring with handles on one end and foot pedals on the other. Uh-huh. And it was like basically a cheap rowing mm-hmm. operation. And you could yeah. do all sorts of things. The risk was it was a completely exposed spring. So let me tell you, when you have leg hair as a child, that's a painful experience.
Oh, no.
That was floating around our house for a real long time. Man, talk yeah. about something I wish my parents wouldn't have purged on me.
We also had something that my brothers and I used to call the thruster because it was like, it looked like you would sit on it like you were on an exercise bike, but there were no pedals. And all you do is pull the...
I know what you're talking about.
And it would make you like...
thrust.
And you were on a seat.
Yes, I know 100% what you were talking about.
And we
yes.
would play with the thruster when we were like almost too small where you would get like...
You guys were getting some real, real ab quality exercises in this house.
But yeah, alas. And even like, thruster. Remember the Bowflex? They promoted yep. like the Bowflex yep. That was like the original Peloton.
Chuck Norris did that, right?
You're right.
This is a great topic. We're going to talk about this.
Yeah,
what do you think these are? What do you think these are at Elevate or Elevation
they're,
or whatever it's called?
They're like a hybrid between a step machine and an elliptical.
Yeah.
They look like something the props department had to make because they probably couldn't, for like licensing reasons, use like a
real thing,
iconic yeah. real piece yeah. of equipment. But they had to be safe enough for the actors.
OSHA standards.
Exactly. So anyways, huge tangent, but necessary. Alexis is in this workout spot environment. She's stretching on one of the machines and it's clear that she's invited all the ladies, which is Stevie, Jocelyn, Twyla, and Ronnie, to come to this class. And
basically every lady in town except for Gwen.
Yeah. Well, she's out of the club now. She's with her pastor.
Her boyfriend.
Getting cousin. Busy. Cousin pastor. Jocelyn says Alexis pushed pretty hard for them to come. And Stevie's only here because Alexis promised to buy her lunch afterwards, which that tracks. The place is called Elevation. You can see signs in the background. And Alexis is now the new official brand ambassador and the new regional marketing invigorator. That second title seems like an Alexis made up one.
Yeah, for sure.
So she's doing some more PR work, branching out beyond just her mom. And in a real peppy home shopping network kind of voice, she asks all the ladies if they are ready for a total physical and emotional transformation. And Ronnie quickly dulls her flames. No, but I'll take the class. So they all get to their stations. Twyla mentions that she wished they had been warned that they were mandatory workout uniforms. And Jocelyn says, yeah, I wish I knew that too, or I wouldn't have spent all that money on my Lulu limes, which is Lulu one limes. Of my favorite lines of this whole show. I don't know why that makes me laugh.
Are we gonna bust into the MLM conversation again in this?
We might.
I really want to whenever yes. you're ready.
I want to talk about that, but I also want to talk about workout clothes. Speaking of Lulu lines.
Yes.
What do you like? What don't you like? Because I definitely have some opinions.
So I have to say, I'm glad you bring this up too, because when she said that, I wanted to talk about workout clothes as well, because mm-hmm. workout clothes are a guilty pleasure for me. Mm-hmm. Like, as you know, I'm a runner. I also like to work out at home, and I cannot stop myself from buying like a cute pair of leggings or a cute set, because mm-hmm. I'm in that mindset where, oh, if I look good, I'll feel good, and I'll mm-hmm. feel like a professional athlete. And mm-hmm. I am a sucker for that stuff at the stores.
You seem like the perfect kind of customer for what's Kate Hudson's company?
Oh, Fabletics.
Fabletics, which is like has a paywall. So it's a membership based where you get discounts. You can still buy, but it's always like twice the price if you don't have a membership. But if you want to like routinely be adding to your workout wardrobe.
I do, but I'm very picky about my legging style. They have to be a certain fabric, and they have to have pockets.
Oh, absolutely.
It is a big Sophie's Choice whenever I find a cute pair of leggings that doesn't have pockets. Choice
references in one episode. Oh my gosh.
Well, the first one was before we even started recording.
Oh, you're right.
But we'll talk about it later.
Those were the pre-thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. Like if I find a cute pair of leggings with a cute pattern and a cute mm-hmm. matching top, and those leggings don't have pockets, I am the saddest person on earth.
Yes.
So my leggings have to be like a poly satin blend. So it has mm-hmm. to have that shiny sheen
with spandex
feel
in it. Mm-hmm.
And spandex. I cannot have a cotton like soft doll finish because mm-hmm. I have too much cat hair in my house.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be very snug, because if mm-hmm. I'm running in them and they fall down, it pisses me off.
Oh, yeah.
So that's my biggest criteria.
Compression.
Yes. Are you like a baggy? What?
No. You're like I really learned what my workout preferences were when I was doing a lot of yoga back in the day. Mm-hmm. This was like 3 or 4 years ago, because usually when I would work out, I didn't like to wear long. I would rather wear bike shorts and a sports bra mm-hmm. and maybe a shirt, but never anything loose. I didn't want fabric getting caught anywhere. Right. But I didn't like wearing leggings because I felt like they were just going to make me too hot. And then I started going to yoga and nobody's wearing shorts. And I think I tried to wear shorts once and I realized why. You get so sweaty
Your
in yoga.
Your knees get sweaty.
That you slip on your own body if you don't have fabric covering it.
Yeah.
But I also would see people wearing like remember when people called them yoga pants? It used to be wide leg exercise pants.
Like boot cut.
Those were the original yoga pants. Yeah. They weren't tight. And like in this episode, they're wearing loose fitting clothing. And I absolutely hate that. Fabric getting caught up anywhere.
Yeah. And that fabric they have, that linen, super scratchy. Like
it's not going to be wicking any of that moisture.
Nothing's wicking anything. It's just going to be like a wet towel on you by the time you're done.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, moisture wicking is definitely. I don't like any kind of cotton feel. Like when I'm working out.
I'm also a sucker for some leggings, and they rarely fulfill their destiny of being used in a workout, but they're very comfortable nonetheless.
At home, leisure wear.
Athleisure wear.
Yes.
Exactly. Stevie mentions the pair that she was given have a stain on them, which that is also a huge red flag to get out of there. Asked Alexis, are you sure they even clean these? And then a very handsome tan man shows up and startles Alexis, kind of appears out of nowhere. Thanks her for bringing in all of these quote unquote new recruits, and says that leadership, these man behind the mirror,
Burton.
Wizard of Oz type figures are impressed with all of Alexis's efforts. So Alexis takes that as a flirty compliment, introduces this guy as Citrus, who runs the East Coast wings. And Citrus mentions that he, capital H, capital E, is impressed with all of Alexis's efforts. And when she asks who he is, he tells her, well, if you keep things up, you just might find out, which again, okay, that's
weird.
Another weird beige flag, orange flag.
Mm-hmm.
And then he tells all the ladies, calling them out by name to have
already
a great
knows
class,
their name.
Knows all of their names. And Jocelyn is wondering how he figured that out.
Okay, stalker.
Alexis is quick to move on, though. And she said, all right, ladies, it is time to elevate. Stevie is getting weird vibes, wants to just wait into the car until it's time to go to lunch afterwards. But Alexis insists that, you know, you're a businesswoman now. Part of that means you need to be physically and mentally sharp. Mm. And also Alexis gets paid every time someone signs up. For what?
Shocker.
We will soon find out. So the class begins. Citrus comes up to the front of the room at his station. It's kind of set up like a spin class, except they're on these, like I said, chintzy looking knockoff stair stepper hybrid.
As seen on TV.
As seen on TV thingies. He calls the group his elevators, and they're ascending, not depending. All
kitschy language.
All of their troubles and worries, they're going to elevate above them. Alexis is like super into the class. Her hair is being very flippy. Stevie and Ronnie look a little skeptical from
He's
the row
extra,
behind them.
Like movie on this machine,
she is.
Too.
She's
like,
very noodly.
Flowing all
yeah,
over
very
it.
Flowing.
Yeah, noodly. That's a very good.
Later in the workout, I'm guessing it's like a maybe like 30 minute, maybe 50 minute hour
Jesus.
Long. You never know. But later in the workout, Jocelyn is elevating for her life at rapid speed, but without moving her upper body. It's just her legs.
Just her
I love
feet.
This
she's
physical
like
comedy
leaning on the
so
thing.
Much. Ronnie looks like she's about to die. Stevie is huffing and puffing her way through it. And he's asking everyone, they've got chants going. Where are we going? Up. What are we leaving behind? Everything. Everyone.
Oof.
And tells them to push past those demons as they ascend to the gateway. Alexis is like even sweating bullets. Like it is a workout for everybody in this
room. And she's a regular runner, we know.
And she is. And then they finally reach the summit and class ends and everybody collapses. Citrus tells everyone to sign up for the gateway. There's also been several women I noticed standing around with clipboards this whole time, presumably to get them to sign up for whatever this is that's going on. And everyone seems sold. They're like really impressed by the class.
Ronnie
is going to grab some elevation
convert.
Hydration
yeah.
bottles. And Alexis asks Stevie what she thought of the class. And she's like, the class was decent, but does anyone actually know what they're talking about when they talk about the gateway? Alexis says, I think it's obvious, but if you want me to clarify the language, I can talk to Citrus. And so she goes up to him and says, you know, just from a marketing standpoint, it'd be good to clarify some things like the demons. Are they real or just carbs? Which am I right?
LOL.
LOL. And Citrus says, the gateway, it's a symbol, but it's also an actual gateway to the sky.
Okay, Citrus.
And in the background, you can see Twyla and Jocelyn signing up on the clipboard, and Alexis is kind of side-eyeing them as she's realizing this is a complete
what
sham.
She's done, like where she's brought these people.
And she's making all like her classic Alexis. I feel like we're just being treated to all of the Alexisisms this season. She's making her awkward faces and pulling on her hair. She's realized she got the townies into a really shady, messy scam situation. Yep. So she quickly goes up to Jocelyn, who is filling in her social security number on the sign-up sheet, takes it from her, crumples it up, but then she just throws it on the floor. Like, you could maybe put that
yeah.
in
you
want to
shred that.
You want to shred
that? If it's got your social on it, shred
and
that
she
document.
She quickly apologizes to them all and says she has a sneaking suspicion that this place is a cult. And Ronnie, who has like 5 hydration bottles in her hands, comes on up and says, yeah, I think this is a cult, and not the good kind, like where you follow a sexy man through India and come home with a banging yoga bod.
Yeah.
I'm going to India in March, so we'll see.
You're
going to
come home with a
experience.
Banging yoga, banging yoda. That's hard to say.
Banging
yoga bod. All right.
Stevie mentions, oh, if only someone had said something earlier, i.e. her, that
Duh.
This seemed a little shady. Jocelyn doesn't care that it's a cult, though. She's just so desperate to go on this retreat that they were talking about. I guess they say intense.
Yep.
She said, last week I stuck Roland Jr. in a ball pit at IKEA just so I could eat a meatball by myself. So clearly motherhood is.
That's a legit babysit. That's a legit thing.
Yeah.
You want to go escape. IKEA is the best place. Drop
that
your
is.
Kids off in the playland.
Mm-hmm.
They have childcare.
Wander
go
around.
Go
sit in a nice living room. Pretend it's your own house.
Yeah.
Maybe crawl under the covers.
Yeah.
For just
Who doesn't love
minutes?
A good trip to IKEA?
Alexa says, I am so sorry, Jocelyn, but nobody is going on the trip. Sorry I put you all through this. Don't know what I was thinking. Ronnie says, it's, you know, whatever. I'm going to keep the bottles. I'm just going to pour out the crystal water.
Take out the crystal water.
Twyla comes up, meanwhile, has an armful of nocturnal affirmation cassette tapes that she bought.
Cassette tapes.
And she just needs to buy their special cassette player that will play them at the right speed while you're sleeping. Okay, if that's not a scam, creepy. I don't know what is. And Alexis breaks it to her that this is a cult, which apparently Twyla was already aware of, but being the good friend that she always is and supporting Alexis as always, was like, oh yeah, I thought you knew that. My mom tried to bring me to the Gateway for spring break one year. I was just trying to be a supportive friend.
Fucking Twyla.
Twyla, you need to have limits, but you're also so sweet.
You need to set boundaries.
Set some boundaries, girl. Alexis just feels so pathetic about all of this. Like, how did she not see through this? She says, cults prey on sad, weak people, which Jocelyn is like, I'll try not to take that
personally.
Does
she say women? I think she says women specifically, doesn't she? Or maybe not. Maybe I'm just thinking of that in my own head.
There was one man in the class I did see.
Okay, okay.
Just an extra. And Alexis is just like, you know, I've just been trying to throw myself into work lately, but clearly I missed all the signs and I've put all of us in danger. And they're ready to get out of here. Jocelyn says, well, there's an exit sign right over there. But Ronnie notes that the arrow is pointing up.
Don't go that way.
Don't go that way. You might not come back. Stevie mentions maybe we'll just go out the emergency exit through the changing room. So they're quickly scooting out of there. Crisis averted, but just barely.
I know we're near the end of the storyline. Can I butt in with this
Please
MLM
do.
Discussion? Now?
Yes, let's do
so,
it.
So I mentioned, I think last week or the week, probably last week, that I had just finished a book about the MLM world.
Hey Girl
it's
or something.
It's called Hey Hun, Sales Sisterhood at Supremacy and Other Lies Behind Multi-Level Marketing. And Stephanie, you have got to read this book. You will be flabbergasted by the situations that these women are in. And it is exactly like Alexa says. These MLM companies, these pyramid rendezvous scheme companies, right? They just prey on like scared, sad, lonely housewives and like so much emotional manipulation. Mm-hmm. And to the point where, you know, it just gets wild. And there's a couple things in this episode that made me think of this book, because one is when Jocelyn is filling out her social security number on this page, right? And the author of this book says literally all you need is a corpse and a social security number, an address and a social security number. And people will sign up their kids to get to the next level. Look at your children. Does this go on their credit of some sort in their life later on?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another part that I just wanted to mention is how this girl got signed up is they have these sales pitches. Like when Alexis said, are you ready for a total blah, blah, blah transformation? It's like verbiage fed to her. And this is exactly what you should say and how you should say it. And one of the things the author says in this book, so supposedly she called her company Rejuvenate in the book because she couldn't name it by name, but from a little Google asks Jeeves-ing, she worked for Rodin and Fields, right? She was MLM.
Okay.
Like, so she said one of their biggest pitches to get people to sign up to be a consultant or whatever, or how to get them started, is you got to come up with three lists. And I, for the life of me, can't remember the middle list, but there were three levels of lists. And one of them was your dirt list. So Stephanie,
okay,
these are anybody you know that would literally buy dirt from you. Or if you were selling dirt, who would buy it? You would be on my dirt list.
Have you heard of like snake oil where you're like sending, like trying to sell a fake product, basically like a snake mm-hmm. oil salesman?
I've never heard
a term for that.
So you would be on my dirt list because you would support me, right?
I would. I totally would.
Well, Twyla's definitely on Alexis's dirt list. Right. She'll buy dirt from Alexis.
Yes,
if Alexis is selling dirt, Twyla's the first one of mine. Right.
Yeah.
So the middle list, I can't remember. But then the other one was like, who would you want to be on your dream team list? And so they have these people like literally go down their list of friends and people, acquaintances in life, and come up with their three lower level pyramid people. It's insane. You have to read the book.
OK.
Listen to it or read it or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So anyway, this seems like one of those types of places because Alexis gets paid for each person that signs up.
Yeah.
And then I bet they get paid for each person they sign up.
So do you know of the company Pure Romance? I know you mm-hmm. do, but mm-hmm. our listeners is actually headquartered here in Cincinnati.
Oh, it is. Oh,
they have a big, huge building. And that's one of those, anytime it's representatives and they don't actually, like, they're putting the pressure on individuals to be entrepreneurs, quote unquote.
Right. Women, like, she bosses, she that's bosses the fr- or boss
that's
babes.
The first indicator.
Yeah.
That this is not the most.
I'm a business thing. Owner. No, you're not. You're a salesperson for this.
This company
scheme.
That is probably draining you dry. Right now.
Yeah, there's you got to read the book. You're going to be flabbergasted.
Okay. Will do.
Yeah. You know who is a Pure Romance consultant or tried to be?
We had a former coworker who was.
I didn't know if you remembered that or
they
not.
They actually had a booth at the wedding expo last weekend.
Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys pick anything up kinky?
We did not. But if we need to pay a visit to headquarters, I know where to find them. All right. Well, yeah, I definitely feel like Alexis was in that headspace where she was easily preyed upon by these kind of people. And thank you, Stevie, for speaking up and making her ask the questions to get them out of that situation.
And for Twyla for always being a good friend.
Oh, Twyla. Exactly. All right. We are running a little bit long, so I think we'll throw it to our sponsor. And then when we come back, we will check in with Johnny and Patrick.
Excellent.
Are you tired of depending? Are you ready to be ascending? Well, then this week's sponsor is here to bring you to the next dimension via the gateway. It's none other than the region's newest followership group, Elevation. With an emphasis on clearing the mind and body, stepping towards the upwards exit and leaving behind everyone and everything, you will reach the gateway and you will defeat the demons as you elevate. For our listeners, if you choose the code He Is Watching when you sign up for the next Elevation Retreat, you'll receive a free Elevation cassette player, perfectly calibrated for their Nocturnal Affirmations cassette tape series. Thanks again to our sponsor, where symbols and the future are just a stair step away.
All right, and we are back. Thank you. Reluctantly, thank you to Elevation for sponsoring this episode.
Yeah, it was an obligation of mine as a VIP sales consultant to include them on our show. I signed up. A really good friend got me. She asked me to sign up at the end of it was end of the month and she had to reach her sales goal and she asked me to sign up as a VIP.
Katie.
And 3 years later, I've been deferring my crystal water auto ship every month because I just don't want it.
Katie.
I know.
Who is this friend? Somebody from middle school?
You know, you
Facebook?
Know.
Girl, we gotta get you out of that situation.
Hey, hon. She used the hey, hon.
Well, thank you nonetheless. We'll take your dollars.
Yeah, sure, for Elevation. Sure. We'll take your sponsorship dollars. Yes. No problem.
All right, moving on tonight, back to the motel where Patrick was left alone to enjoy his baseball game in peace. Roland is outside the motel on cleaning crew duty, apparently. Wonder how good of a job he's actually doing. But he runs into Johnny, who is just also hanging out outside. And Roland tells Johnny that he was peeking into his son's bedroom and saw Patrick was all alone, which that's other.
The funny thing is, he said, I don't want to creep you out, but I was peeking and you're not off to a good start.
Not Roland. A good start. That's not what you want to do when you're the owner of a motel franchise, Roland. You need to kick that habit real quick. Johnny says, oh, well, yeah, Patrick is there. He's practically family. And Roland kind of puts him on the spot like, well, have you told him that he's like your family? And then asks about, have you had a father-son chat? You know, he's going to be marrying your son very soon. You need to lay down some laws.
Whose business is this, Roland?
And definitely not Roland's. But then it goes so far to suggest, well, if you're not going to do it, Johnny, maybe he needs a chat from old Uncle Roland. Johnny says nobody should have a chat with Uncle Roland, which I agree.
I agree.
And Johnny says, if I want to talk to him, I'll do it on my time. But I think he plants that bug in Johnny's brain. And then Roland's going off about how I remember the talk that my father-in-law had with me. It was right before our wedding and he was trying to talk me out of marrying Jocelyn, but she was 9 months pregnant. So he didn't really have much to stand on there.
We knew she was pregnant, but did we know she was that
nine
pregnant?
9 months pregnant.
She was
and
ready
then
to
they
pop.
Had their honeymoon at the motel.
How romantic.
How romantic. And Mutt was born. That's how Mutt was born.
Yikes. And that's how Jocelyn is still young enough to have another baby 30 exactly. years later.
Exactly. Apparently, this conversation that Roland had with his father-in-law was in a sauna.
Oh, that's right. I forgot that end line.
So they were in the nude, presumably, when they were having this tough conversation right before the wedding. So Johnny now is thinking about this, like, should I be talking to Patrick? Do I want to have a moment? Do I want to lay down some laws, as Roland suggested? So he awkwardly kind of saunters into David's room, but you know, we know Patrick is just there watching the room by himself, tries to act casual. Patrick invites him over for some pizza, which Johnny calls za, being so like Johnny awkward, trying to be cool, trying to connect.
Johnny is never casual, never. He's
rambling about pizza temperatures and types of crust.
Crust, tomato sauce.
Narrating cheese. The yes. ingredients.
Thank you for telling me what's in pizza.
Thank you, Johnny. I would not have known.
What's in za?
And then to try to make a smooth transition or segues. Speaking of great combinations, you and David, but then gets cut off when the game picks up.
I love how every time Patrick gets excited,
he's Johnny trying just to mirror
has to pretend
him.
Like he's, what is happening?
He's just looking at, he's trying Come to on. Bring the same enthusiasm.
Fellas.
Oh, did we get another hit? And it's it's the other guys. And I'm, you know, like I said, I feel like season six is doing a nice job of giving us little like Easter eggs and throwbacks to previous moments in the show. I think this is a little bit of a fun throwback to the baseball episode. Mm-hmm. Didn't Johnny play in his like Hebrew school league or something?
Yeah, the Flying Latkes.
Exactly. I knew you would know. Yes. So he does have a little bit of baseball.
He does. And he stood in at that game. And we knew from that game that Patrick had a competitive streak to him too, which was because yes. he gets all riled up about the game here. So
and Patrick is still very much dialed into this game that they're watching on a tube TV, presumably. Johnny's trying to pivot back into his convo that he failed to get started, but just can't get momentum. He keeps getting interrupted by the game, trying to mirror Patrick's enthusiasm. And then a little bit later, they get to a commercial break. And I guess Johnny was originally having them mute the commercials, but he like wasn't getting a conversation going because Patrick says something about, well, I guess we don't need to mute
this
commercial.
So if it's going to be awkwardly silent, I don't want to mute the commercials. It's going to be awkwardly silent.
Exactly. And also for just like staging, Johnny is laying or sitting on Alexis's bed
with his shoes on the bed.
With his shoes. Patrick, at least he knows his fiance well enough. He took his shoes off.
And speaking of that too, I was even surprised that David let him eat on his bed. Like that also seems like a no-no.
Yeah. But David, to be fair, was also eating on his own bed. So Patrick brings up during this commercial break that it sounded like Johnny had wanted to say something earlier, but it's like getting cold feet about it. And, you know, you mentioned, did you want to talk about David or something? And Johnny kind of leans into it then and says, oh, my son. Yes, my son who you will be walking down the aisle with very soon, although you won't be technically walking with, just rambling and stuttering. And Patrick Everly has the most
so
emotional intelligence
yes.
of anybody on this show.
He
literally
does.
Swoops in to save this awkwardness, sits right next to him on Alexis's bed, makes eye contact with him, and in the most wonderfully heartfelt and earnest moment goes on to say how he feels so lucky to be bearing David, but more than that, he feels so lucky to become part of this family. And wants Johnny to know that he loves his son and will do everything he can to protect and respect him and protect him from all the things that can set him off. And they have a little moment laughing about how
things.
Many things there are.
Yes.
And Johnny is clearly moved that Patrick was able to swoop in and manifest this conversation that he was struggling to get,
I
know,
love this
get going. And Johnny, if anything, is reassured that more than ever, Patrick is David's person and they will do just fine together. And Patrick will also fit in perfectly with his family, if that wasn't clear already.
Steph, do you remember when the promos for season six came out and there were flash seconds of nearly every episode? This was in that promo. And I remember being so excited to see this scene because there was only one tidbit of I think Patrick said something to the effect of, I love your son. And you see Johnny get emotional. Mm-hmm. And I just remember being so excited for whatever this scene was. We had no idea. We saw half a second of this scene. And I was like, oh my God, this season's going to be so good. This one's going to be
for
so
one
good.
Thing, we've seen so few Johnny and Patrick encounters. I don't think Johnny has
I'm glad
ever
you
been,
brought that up too.
I don't think Johnny has ever been in the store. Has he ever been in the store?
Just for the grand opening, I think. The soft opening.
So we don't see him at the store. They talked about hot dogs on the grill once.
Did you pop open the book? So that's actually one thing. There was a quick interview with Eugene Levy about it. And that's one thing that he said. Patrick and Johnny get little to no scenes together, that this ended up being one of the most memorable scenes mm-hmm. for him to shoot.
Yeah.
Because it was really touching, talking about his son, but mm-hmm. in fake and in real life.
You have to think about the reality of that for Eugene, yeah. too.
He said it ended up being one of his most memorable scenes in mm-hmm. all six seasons. So
yeah. And it's so well orchestrated. And like I said, Patrick just has this emotional maturity that none of them have.
And Noah Reed is such a talented actor. He always pulls off these emotional scenes so well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think he really adds such a valuable piece to this family. And Johnny, like I said, is so moved. Patrick even gives him the opportunity, like, was there anything else that you wanted to talk about? Or did I miss anything? And Johnny is just like,
nope.
That about covers it. I just hope you'll treat him with respect, which you just said you would. And I already, you know, he says, I already knew you would. He just felt like he was obligated to have this conversation
right.
because of what Roland said. But I'm glad he did. And you could even tell in his voice, he's getting a little emotional. You wonder how much of that
so
is cute. Eugene, too.
So cute.
And Patrick gives him a little pat on the back and they agree that they're glad they had this talk together, and then they can go back to watching the game. And it's a home run, and it's so cute because they both jump up together and celebrate, and they're like
high five
hand holding moment. And it's just like, I'm so excited to see and think about beyond the ending of the show, like how their son-in-law, father-in-law,
their family now
can
like yeah.
evolve. But this has been a like pivotal moment for them, the two of them, to connect without David in the way.
I mean, for Johnny, it's like now there's another man in the family because yeah. David's a diva, you know?
Yes. I mean, Moira thinks of Patrick lovingly, and we'll find out a little bit more in a second. Like she calls him a button nose, you know, cutie patootie, yeah. every chance she can get. But Patrick didn't really have any opportunities to connect with Johnny. And now they've had such a great, memorable moment that
very cute
will propel them forward, I think. So that's really the end of the Johnny Patrick storyline. And then we have one more left tonight, which is Moira and David, who mm-hmm. took off not so subtly this morning to go wine tasting to try to choose a wine that's going to be the Moira Rose
name on it. Yeah.
It's going to have her name on it. So they are back at the winery, which Katie, now we've been there.
Sort of.
This is so, in case people don't remember from our Canada episode, we went to the new location of the winery. This is the old location, which is now still a farmer's market. This
family
has an orchard.
Type.
It's like a family farm.
Corn
we're not
maze.
Able to
I
make it to this
maze.
One. Although we got it to the gate, they were just closed. But this is the Herb Ertlinger Winery that is located in the Ontario area, north of
Stouffville.
North of Toronto. Stouffville.
Yep.
Stouffville.
That's where
if
this
you
particular
would ever
building
like
is.
To sojourn yes. and visit. So David is looking through their pamphlet. They're inside the winery, asks how did this connection even come together after the train wreck? Commercial that we all remember from season one that you reenacted, Katie, for
Bingo
us.
Bingo Lingfucker.
She says that Herb won't be the last person to come out of the woodwork now that she is tied
famous.
To a hit movie.
Yeah.
And just then Herb comes in. She can't remember his last name. Of course she can't remember his last
David
name.
David has
to
put
has
it
to
in
whisper.
Her. Whisper it in her ear.
And he says, you know, let bygones be bygones. My wife and I are such a huge fan of the Crows movie. We're so glad you're here. Just singing her praises again. And she introduces David to Herb as her son and a potential vendor. So she's trying to promote the apothecary yeah. a little bit, which is nice. But she says, I'm sure you've heard of his story. And of course, Herb shuts him down. Oh, no, I haven't heard of it. but you know, I'd be happy to discuss a buy with whatever store this is. And David's face when he basically insults him with zero brand awareness. It's like, well, I think we'll need to sample a product first, Herb. And then they're quickly escorted into the tasting room. He's got a couple bottles set up for them to try and even made some like mock-ups of the labels.
Yeah.
It's going to be a limited exclusive release. It's a photo of her face. I think it's the photo from the commercial.
I think so too.
He also mentions they did a print ad, which was a little more successful because they didn't have all of her flubs in it.
Didn't have any lines.
And Moira loves this. She's like, well, hello. And who is she? How do we get a mouthful of her? She loves that she could be the face of a wine. She's excited by this. And the three options that he has prepared for her are a hold your vomit.
Fruit wine. Remember,
they're,
guys.
They're fruit wines. We've got a strawberry peach, which is okay.
That's doable.
But then we get to a ground fruits blend. What are ground fruits?
I have no idea.
Well, first I'm like, is it like a watermelon that grows on the ground or is it like apples that have already fallen out of the trees and they just picked up from the ground?
I'm going to look that up because I didn't really think that might be a thing. Ground fruits. Fruits that grow. Oh, this says fruits that grow underground. Well, this isn't.
All that I'm getting is a gift that says the ground fruits blend in its herb. So I don't know that ground fruits are real.
I feel like your first inclination of watermelon was a good idea of what a ground fruit is or a pumpkin.
I mean, most things that grow in the ground or on the ground are vegetables.
Right. You're right.
Where do bananas grow? Trees. Bananas
trees. Grow
trees. Carrots.
Basically, watermelon or cantaloupe are the only things that come to mind that grow on the ground.
Oh, cantaloupe, yeah.
Like honeydew, the green one, the orange one.
But my original thought was, is it just like things that have already fallen from their tree?
That could be.
It's already started fermenting.
Apple fell on the ground. We can use this for the ground fruit.
A little
blend.
Bit of extra protein, maybe.
That seems more likely if we're thinking about the winery.
Yeah. And the third is a delectable, enticing banana rosé. I've already told you about bananas. We know
that that doesn't even sound good.
No. How does that even blend into a wine? I don't know. Mm-mm. What's being extracted from that?
They're very Boone's Farmy.
Very Boone's Farmy. David is making faces at all of these flavors, but Moira is optimistic at, especially at the banana. She's like, ooh, rich in potassium, she says. Tells them, you know, I'll bring you a little sampling board, some cheese, some coffee grounds. Are you just going to munch on coffee grounds?
No, you're supposed to smell them in between tastings to cleanse your palate, your odors and stuff.
Okay, I had never heard of that.
Yeah, that's they have coffee grounds at like fancy department stores with perfume too, coffee beans and a little martini glass and stuff. So you can smell in between.
See, if I had been there, I thought I'd probably
I'm going to suck on these.
Disgusting.
Seedy.
So he again is just so excited for Mara to be there. Thanks her again. Doesn't thank David probably because he already forgot his name. You can tell Herb just wants to hop on
the famous person, the
trend train. He wants the endorsement because it was rough when they worked together last time. So clearly the fame is big enough to sway him.
Bygones be bygones, he says.
Like, yeah, exactly. So he gives him some time to sample the wine, and Moira cheers as David for being able to enjoy the perks of the industry together. But then as soon as they taste it, their faces turn super sour. She says, oh, I had my reservations about the banana. But David says, oh, that's the strawberry peach. And this is where we get our episode title because she goes, oh, dear, tastes like amoxicillin, which I remember when I heard that this was one of the episodes. Well, all of season 6 that I watched live. And when I heard that line, I was like, that is just
so good.
So good.
So the next one has hints of tomato.
They're still going through the tasting. David is like, these are terrible. Do you really want your name on this laundry detergent? Because I would never sell this at my store, but she's getting worked up because she feels like we have to choose one. She loves the idea of her name and face being on a wine. And that's when she does say, well, now I'm getting notes of tomato, which that reminds me of growing up. I remember having to go on a long road trip. We were going to Tennessee for family stuff, and my grandparents were driving my brothers and I, and their idea of car snacks in 1998 was vegetable thin crackers and V8 juice, which is just like straight tomato juice. And I, from that point on, like,
I can do a Bloody Mary. I can do a Bloody Mary, you know, with the
I can't
spices.
Even do that because of this trauma.
Well, yeah. If that's gross by itself,
it's but like cold tomato soup
with the spices. Yes, that's called gazpacho. With the spices and the pickle juice and the pickle sphere and stuff, I can do that. Like, I like a good Bloody Mary, but not tomato juice. Joe will drink, well, V8 straight. I'm like, no thanks.
No, thank you. So, yeah, it's not going well. These first three, none of them are winners. Much later, we see them. They've taken it upon themselves to try to make some blends, which the science behind blends is actually quite interesting. I've only learned a little bit about it, but they're trying to balance out the different ratios to get more appealing flavor profiles, basically. But they've got about a dozen glasses in front of them at this point with all different combinations. Nothing is labeled. I don't know how they're keeping track of anything. Clearly, that's going to be a problem in a second. David is like, I'm just trying to find anything suitable with all these blends. They are deep in their tasting and they are getting shwasted at this point. You can see the the glaze is starting to set in both of their eyes. Moira Ros, what did she say? A Rosling is one of her theories. Well, maybe it won't be a rosé, but maybe a Rosling blend. This is the scene also where you can see the labels in the background.
Oh, the labels, the ones that
we see them throughout, but specifically in this angle behind them, I can see the
Oak Chardonnay.
Oak Chardonnay. And then I have a Gerstenweimer, or however that is pronounced. And I can see both of those.
I can see them too. Joe was asking me which ones we had when we were doing the rewatch. And I was like, oh, I can see them in the back. Yep. That one and that one right there.
So David is, I know, I will forever love this episode because of that. So thank you, Matt, again. Thank you, Matt, from
Fruit Wines.
Applewood Farms Winery, aka Herb Erlinger. So David has this blend that he's concocted that he wants her to try. And they both agree, oh, this actually isn't bad.
It's potable. They say it's potable.
It's potable. David even says, I've had worse things in my mouth. Okay, I bet you have. Moira is so happy that they can do this together. As she said, it's an enological escapade, which enology is the science that studies wine and winemaking, which Katie, you might be excited to know that at the university where I teach, you can take a sommelier class. And I've had students take this class and I'm so jealous when they're like, oh, I have to go to my wine tasting class. Be back later. I'm like,
must be rough.
Can I sign up for that? I would like to take that class.
Could you get some, like, you could take discounted classes probably, eh?
I can take classes for free, actually. Oh, so what am I even doing here right now?
What are you even doing?
I should be in my wine class.
I don't know this for a fact. I'm not sure about the sommelier one, but GRCC here downtown, the community college, does a beer brewing master's or program, basically, because it's Beer City. It's such a...
It is. I know that this class falls under the... We have a horticulture program,
that makes sense.
And it falls under that umbrella, which is interesting.
That makes sense. Cool.
So Moira's feeling reflective and sentimental. And she says, you know, when was the last time we could spend the whole day together? And I'm thinking, you guys go out and do stuff all the time.
All the time.
You two more than anyone else on the show.
You invite him to lunch and leave Alexis at home constantly.
Exactly. And David has to rant about, well, you know, I'm just incredibly busy planning a wedding and running a successful retail empire. And this is when Moira gives him a little chin-chin to him and his husband-to-be. She's definitely feeling the wine and she's feeling
her
feelings.
What is this chin-chin? You've used this twice tonight.
I only used it because she says it, but I think it's just like a cute little cheers.
I didn't hear her say it. Oh, chin-chin. Okay. Okay, gotcha.
She goes, chin-chin to you.
I thought this was like something I just didn't know again, like apropos. Like,
it makes me think of a chim-chimmery from Mary Poppins.
Chim-chimmery.
Chin-chin to you. She goes off on one of my favorite speeches. This episode is full of so many good speeches.
Mother Moira.
How David and Patrick are just two good grapes. Different notes, different tannins, but together they make a perfect blend. What a beautiful sentiment that is. But then she goes on to add a little more saying, you know, that being said, you know, there's more to him than meets the eye, basically. And
he needs attention too.
He needs attention. And she starts to talk about how, you know, your father and I, we've made beautiful, what does she call it?
Delicious wine.
Beautiful wine together for over 40 years. Ew. but basically says, you know, just because he's not as, because his notes are subtle, she says, doesn't mean he doesn't require less attention.
Yeah.
But literally she stole Patrick, or she stole David away from Patrick today while he was watching baseball to go do this with her.
Yep.
But basically just says, you know, I know you and Patrick's relationship will get even better with age, which is just, again, such a beautiful on-theme sentiment.
Just like a fine wine.
Just like a fine wine. This clarity she's having in her drunkenness is really
remarkable. Isn't that when we all get the most clear?
It is. It's a fine line. I remember telling you once that I felt like I was walking on rainbows, and then I busted up a whole Bath and Body because we were having Long Island.
Never take her there again. Oh, fun times.
My foot was bleeding, you guys.
Jesus. What a fiasco.
Anyways, we've evolved.
Can't take you anywhere.
For the most part. So in the middle of this moment, an exhausted Herb comes in. From the basement, maybe? I don't know where.
With the last wine that they haven't tried.
He's got an iced cherry wine, which sounds terrible. But he thinks it might be corked, which I looked this up because I always wonder, you know, when you order a bottle of wine and they have you taste it to make sure you, like, sign off on it?
But
and
wait,
I never knew
did you
why.
Look up the... Can I guess what this
yes,
means?
Yes, yes, please do.
So I'm not 100% sure, but, like, when the cork gets dried out and no longer, like, seals the seal, is that like what happened?
That's what I thought, like it's gone flat maybe.
Yeah,
which I think that's part of it, but specifically saying that a wine has been corked, or corked wine is a wine that's been contaminated by trichloroanisole or TCA, which is a chemical compound which is caused by mold in corks or in wood, which could also be used for corking. And it can alter the wine's scent, aroma, or flavors to the point that it can't be drunk because of a strong cork taste.
Oh, I see.
So it almost like spoils the flavor versus like what I thought was more like, you know, how like a carbonated beverage, it loses its carbonation.
Right.
So it's actually the cork's mold is contaminating the wine. I don't know how you tell that without tasting it, but
here, hold on. Here's the next question on Google. How can you tell if a wine is corked?
Oh, yes.
A corked wine will smell and taste like musty cardboard, wet dog, or moldy basement.
Mm.
So if you've tasted any of those things, you'll know if your wine is corked. Oh,
that's interesting though, because they'll have like the waiter is like, you try it. Let us know if it's.
I know. Every time they come to my table, I'm always like, yep, tastes good. Yep,
tastes like
good.
Wine.
Tastes like tastes wine. Like I wine. Mean, I'm no sommelier. Sommelier. Whatever.
Sommelier. I'm no wine expert.
But I like to pretend I am whenever they do that.
Oh, totally.
Oh, yes. Let me swirl the glass. Let me look at the legs. Yes. I learned a lot from the movie Sideways, don't you know?
So he's got this bottle of ice wine that's gone bad. But Moira says, no worries. We found a winner, a delicious blend, thanks to David. But then suddenly they can't find the glass. And watching this time around, I was like, I'm going to follow the glass.
Does he pick up the actual glass?
No, he picked up the wrong glass. I'm pretty sure he picked up the wrong glass.
Because I was thinking about that, too. I'm like, I really need to pay attention as to what one he said.
And David's making his excellent sour face. So many times throughout this episode.
The one he has after every drink, no matter
every
what.
Every drink, yes. Herb leaves completely defeated by all this as they're trying to retrace their steps and find this perfect blend. Last bit we see here at the winery, I feel like the music's been building in the background and now it's like loud opera music. Moira is plastered, as is David, and Herb has had enough. They cannot find the blend. Moira says, well, maybe it oxidized. That's why we can't find it.
Is that why we can't taste it?
Herb says, maybe we just call off this whole thing, pretend it never happened. I was supposed to be meeting my wife at the Elmdale Inn hours ago for dinner. And
it's hard to get a reservation there.
We know that. Yes. And so clearly this is not playing out for Herb. He's really regretting, you know, this olive branch he reached out to Moira with. And Moira says, well, maybe it was a strawberry radish. He says, we don't do radish. And Oh, well, you should. That sounds lovely. We're not making a new wine. Moira says, no need to raise your voice. And David says,
she says all drunkenly.
Is it Herbert or Herbert? Like how some people say herb. And he tells them that he took the liberty of calling Johnny, which Moira is so thrilled about when she says Johnny. Oh, and David kind of wags his finger at his mom. They're so drunk.
They're so
funny.
And says,
well, someone had to drive you home and it's not going to be me. And just then Johnny and Patrick walk in. David gasps, so excited to see them. It's so cute how they're like, they are just so,
they're so drunk
at this point.
And this is the, this acting slut, this is like the perfect scene of like me if I get too drunk and Joe comes to get me. This is exactly what this looks like.
And Moira says, one of my favorite things, our designated grapes. So cute. Especially because she was already talking about, you know, how they're, you know, different types of wine.
Different grapes.
She's so gleeful to see them. And
David gives Patrick the messiest kiss.
Oh my gosh. He just plants a sloppy kiss right onto Patrick's face. Not even his mouth, just his face. Johnny sees, oh, the sampling went well, I see, but they couldn't find a wine. And Herb is like, we will not be doing this collab. He's very upset. And Johnny is kind of mortified and trying to apologize.
Trying to schmooze.
And David yells, I said radish. He's just so gone.
I love, too, when David said, we couldn't find a wine. And Patrick's like, it sort of smells like you found all the wines.
All the wines. And it's also nice to see Johnny. And again, Patrick now can connect on like their drunken spouses.
It's like people, people bond over a common enemy. And in this position,
well, just like
the drunks are the common enemy.
What I love is when you meet a couple and you're like, oh, I'm this person and their couple and they are you. Like you can just relate to their experiences. And so Johnny is trying to offer a major apology to Herb, ever the businessman, while Moira's just kind of mumbling and Johnny and Patrick go to start the car and they head out. So it's definitely, it was not a success in the sense that Herb wanted it to be, but I think it was a huge success.
It was a great Mother Sunday.
In terms of, the Mother Sunday, I'll have the Mother Sunday that they get to connect and just have some great heart-to-heart moments. So our final scene, it's slumber party time, because if you remember, Patrick's getting a new toilet installed. So he is in his half of the twin bed.
Spending the night in a twin size bed.
And David comes out of the bathroom. Alexis is in her bed, too, next to them, which is so awkward.
I love this scene, though. This is one of my favorite closers.
It's great. And, you know, David says, well, how was your class? And she's like, it was a success. Everyone had a great time. Just wants to like forget it. And David says, well, do you think you'll get priority boarding when you enter the gateway?
Stevie has filled him in.
And she is so pissed. And Patrick is just kind of giggling on his phone as David asks if the step machines actually lifted them off the ground, or is it just practice for when they walk onto the spaceship? And Patrick says, oh, David, she didn't know, trying to like, be nice, but
be
then
the nice guy,
and cuts in with a dagger line and says, but now that you do, does it make the journey all the more meaningful? Alexis has had enough. I love, she's like, you guys are grossing me out. It's like having twin brothers who kiss.
Basically, that's how that probably
basically
feels. This
and
is
then
very
they,
awkward.
And then they go in for a kiss when she says that.
Oh,
and then Johnny and Moira swoop in to say goodnight. Look at this. We have a full house. Johnny's also
so cute.
Helping Moira open her Tylenol bottle because she's got a major hangover.
A day drinking hangover, which are worse than regular hangovers, if I'm being honest.
Moira loves the idea of a slumber party, though, and she wiggles into Alexis's bed, who's like, ew, pushing her out of her bed, basically. Johnny thinks this isn't, you know, such a bad idea. We can all spend a little more time together as Alexis is going to be heading out for the gateway soon.
They're all ripping on her.
And you know what? For Johnny, I think this is a redeeming moment because he's always so bad with landing the jokes, but he finally got in a sick burn. Like he finally nailed a joke. Good job, Johnny.
Conversation
is really helping him, I think. And Patrick is just loving to observe this family dynamic that he's now about to join in on forever. And even asked David, like, does this happen every night? And David says, no. Oh, no.
This is a special treat.
This is special. Moira's squirming into Alexis, who is miserable by the end of all this. And we get to end our episode with that funny little
story. So good.
So
funny.
That is the end of the episode. Like I said, so many good laughs, heartfelt moments, really, between both Moira and David and Johnny and Patrick. I think the show's really indulging us as an audience in this last season. And now, too, we have this iconic connection to Herb Erlinger Wine. So it was great to see them again. And Katie, I think people might be surprised to hear, but because of all these things and many more, this is actually my Simply the Best. I know we're going to track some people, but here we are. We did it.
We're done with that part of the journey.
But we're still going to go through the rest of the episode.
We're not done. But yes. And as I sit here listening and rewatching this episode, I'm going to fucking lose.
You don't know that.
Oh, my God. I'm regretful that I didn't pick this one.
No, you don't know that. But and I think some people might be surprised. And we've talked about this.
I agree.
But like, I think, you know, most seasons thus far, we've had at least all, if not most, of the season finales have been one of the final. And people might think, well, why wouldn't you choose that? Which we'll get to that in a couple weeks when we get there, but or a couple months, I guess. But, you know, I think what I value in this episode when I think about the season is like the moments that I think about when I think about the show that are iconic. And I think this episode just makes me laugh so much, but also it makes me feel so many good character moments and connection moments that
and a lot of laughs, a lot of really good laughs, in this one.
And even like the elevation stuff, as silly as it is, like it makes me laugh every time. I think it's just such a, like we talked about last week with some of those storylines that didn't really go anywhere. And yeah, this is kind of standalone, but I think it's well concocted enough that it still really adds value.
It's meaningful. Like the storylines are meaningful to the characters in this episode. I will say, if we want to like talk about this, but I had said before how we talked about two Sophie's Choices tonight, and I said the last two episodes of the show are notoriously fan favorites.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I was adamant that we not use those.
Yes.
Because it's like putting your children up against each other.
Kind of. Yeah. And I think people might be like, well, those are my favorite episodes. And that's totally fine.
Yeah.
And reasonable. I think we just
But for the purpose of what we're doing, like, yeah, I think these choices are.
I think
are.
We've made two very good choices. Mm-hmm. So we will, in a couple months after the holidays, I think is when we'll be debating these last season six,
Simply the Best.
So we can kind of cruise through and just enjoy the back half of season six in the meantime.
Yeah, this was a good one, Steph. Congratulations on your pick. That's very, very well, very well written episode, too. I like this one.
Definitely. So. I do have one Would You Rather that we can wrap things up with tonight.
I'm ready.
Katie, would you rather attend a Gateway Elevation workout class, or would you rather sit through an afternoon of baseball and small talk with your in-laws?
Oh, my God. I don't. Well, I'm going to say the elevation class.
Okay.
Because it will be shorter. And I'm a really good, like, bullshit, like.
Like, you could go to one of those, like, timeshare sale.
Yeah. And be like, no. Okay, bye. Thanks, bye. And then leave.
Yeah. I think you could handle it.
People have a hard time selling shit to me. Even when we got a window, we had a window treatment, a window salesman come to our house, and I like totally threw him off his game because I was like, no bullshit. Just tell me the basics and what I need to know. And he was like, oh man, this is weird. I usually have a much
He had
longer...
a whole spin. He was ready to.
He's like, I usually, and he was pretty new at it too. He was pretty upfront about it. He's like, I usually have a much longer,
his script,
much longer, spiel. And I was like, yeah, I don't need that.
I just want to know if I'm going to buy a window.
I think the elevate would be good. I could just like get in, get out, get done.
Yeah. I think you would get out of there. Okay. In one piece. You would not get on that spaceship.
I would steal some swag like Ronnie. Don't get me wrong. Steal
Run
some
it
swag.
Through the dishwasher. It's fine.
I mean, it's free to get this. I get what I get. Come here, you know, take my free meal and go home.
Totally. All right, so Katie, we will be back next week. I'm going to lead. You had two back-to-back, and now I have
again
two
back-to-back.
So next week's episode actually is maybe kind of topical for me because Patrick and David are going to be doing some engagement photos. We're also going to see Johnny and Moira and Jocelyn and Roland going head to head for the presidential suite in their newly acquired motel property. And then Ted also makes a surprise visit back in town. So Ted. We're going to have to see how all of that plays out.
Good old Ted.
But in the meantime, I think we've got a couple good ideas for polls.
We have to talk about these exercise machines.
We will do it. I want to know like weird, trendy, fatty exercise fads. Also exercise workout gear, clothes. What do you like to wear?
What's your favorite brand too? Like I need to know these
good recommendations. Any like bust, like big naturals, busty gals got some sports bra.
We could use those. That is always a struggle. That is always a struggle for me.
That is the
part. Also, have you ever been sucked into something like Elevation or any MLM? I think we talked
time
about
shares,
that
any here. Like weird. Have you gotten sucked into?
And I also want to know any good father-son talks or father-daughter talks or any wedding prep relationship.
Mother-son, mother-daughter. Yeah, parent-child convos.
Anything awkward, like shotgun wedding type stories, like Roland's.
Yeah, exactly. Would love to hear it. All right, Katie. Well, hope you have a great week. It's November, everybody. If you're going to put up your Christmas tree like I did today, don't let anybody shame you for it.
No, you do you, boo.
You do you, boo. We love you. Participate in our polls. We've got a couple more months to go.
We're back on our regularly scheduled programming for a while now, too. Yes, so
we are. All right.
All right. Well, until next week, best wishes.
And warmest regards.
Fat Spatula.